And welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm Mark Colbert, your host today. Shrek, the musical, the stage show based on the Oscar-winning movie, opens in the Signal Mountain Playhouse on Friday, July 6th. Richard Whittam talked with the director, Joel Scribner, and the choreographer, Dr. Jennifer Wilson.
It takes the film and puts it into a context of live theater that kids and audience members can just immerse themselves in the world. And it does it in such a unique way with the addition of the music and lyrics that weren't in the film that it just adds so much emotional weight and gravitas to the show itself.
Sing a song, yes, the travel song, when you gotta go somewhere, 'cause the fun is getting there. Yeah! Oh, what the heck, I must confess, I love a road trip. Sing a song.
It is a wonderfully fun romp, and at the same time, it is a piece that really tugs at the heartstrings and has an important message. It's about how our diversity is our strength and how each individual's uniqueness is a positive rather than a negative. And that uniqueness, when joined together, can move mountains.
Forget the maps, forget the guides. Before you know it, you've made strides with me. And I know all I need all along is a path and a pal and a song. So I'm singing and I'm palling with you. See, makes the time go by faster.
At first glance, it may seem a bit of a stretch to talk about what the director Joel Scribner has called a fun romp in terms of its deeper message. But then for him, that's the essence of all theater.
Theater at its core, in my opinion, is supposed to pose questions, not provide answers. And so it is a reflection of the world, and therefore you are either shown a perspective that you don't know or haven't thought of in a way as an audience member that hopefully sends you home to ask questions of yourself. It doesn't actually give you the answers, but it does pose the questions. Shrek is a wonderful vehicle for this because it's a kid-centered show on one level, and yet it has so many other, I'll paraphrase the line from the show, that ogres are like onions. They have layers. This show is like an onion. It has multiple layers, and it's one facet. It's just a postmodernist fairy tale. And on the other level, it's a reflection of current events. Now, whether it was written that way or not, the events have caught to that point where it's a reflection. It is a look at falling in love and not recognizing that you are worthy of love. A lot of the characters don't love themselves or don't believe that they are lovable, and come to the realization that they are worthy of being loved or that they are capable of loving. And that discovery is, you know, opens the doors. And it is something that when kids see that on the one level of it being this wonderful, funny fairy tale with these funny, goofy characters, that other message is there and it just opens their eyes. So again, it's a wonderful vehicle for a wonderful community theater.
It's about an ogre who lives in a swamp. And also Lord Farquaad, who lives in the kingdom of Duloc, and he kicks all of the freaks, quote unquote, out of Duloc. He only wants people who look a certain way and act a certain way to live in Duloc. And so anybody who's different gets kicked out, and they all get banished to Shrek's swamp. And Shrek is not having that. So he goes to help Lord Farquaad. Because Lord Farquaad says, if you get me my princess, because if I get married, I can become king. So if you get my princess for me so that I can get married, then I will get all of those creatures out of your swamp for you. So he goes off on a journey to find Princess Fiona so that he can get all of these interesting characters out of his swamp home. He meets a donkey along the way, and they have this great, great journey cross terrain and save the princess from a fire-breathing dragon. And then, of course, things don't go quite according to plan. And Shrek falls in love with the princess.
Yeah, I don't get it, Shrek. Why don't you just make Farquaad give you your swamp back? You pull some of that ogre stuff on him, you know, throttle him, lay siege to his fortress. That whole ogre trick.
For your information, there's a lot more to ogres than people think.
Example.
Example. Okay. Ogres are like onions.
Oh, they stink.
Yes. No.
They make you cry.
No.
Oh, when you leave them out in the sun too long, they get all brown and they start sprouting little white hairs.
No! Layers. Onions have layers. Ogres have layers. Onions have layers. You get it? We both have layers.
Oh, you both have layers. You know, not everybody likes onions. Parfaits. Everyone likes parfaits, and they have layers. Have you ever met a person and you say, hey, let's get some parfaits, and they go, hell no, I don't want no dang parfaits. Parfaits are delicious.
I don't care. Ogres are not like parfaits.
Parfaits may be the most delicious thing on the whole damn planet.
Oh, you know, this may turn into the longest day of my entire life.
How do you find working with volunteers? They're generally not professional actors. They're people who do it for the love of it.
Oh, absolutely. I love people that love theater. And one of my joys is working with younger actors, youth, to expose them to theater and to the joys that can be found in the art form. So most of my career has been working with community-based theaters. And if someone is willing to give up their free time to come out and work hard and perform in a show, that right there is half the battle. I know that that's a person that is committed. And all I ask of my community actors has been to continually improve from day to day. So you may never reach the level of somebody that's trained at the Royal Shakespeare, but if you're better than you were yesterday, or if you have a stronger understanding of character or of movement or of situational awareness and listening skills on stage, then that's a win, and I am pleased.
It's a wonderful thing to work with the kids, too, because some of these kids have never done a show before in their life, and this is their first foray into the theater world. And, you know, as Joel was saying, as you dig into the text and you see things, we have kids that hear a line that they haven't heard before, and they run up and they're like, did you hear Shrek say this? I think he probably said that because blah, blah, blah. And then they tell us what they think. And it's so fun to see the discovery in these kids as they experience this for the first time. And in a way, I think it reminds a lot of us adults why we fell in love with theater to begin with many years ago.
And Signal Mountain Playhouse is very, not unique in general, but it's unique in the area in that its mission statement is to provide youth the opportunity during the summer for an activity that is not sports related and expose youth to the arts. And it has been doing that for over,
it's like 45 years
or so,
like
I believe.
Yeah, it's and definitely an institution, yeah.
It is certainly geared to that. And so going into a production of this nature, you understand that it's also a teaching environment and a nurturing environment, not something that the environment that you would find if you were doing a professional company somewhere and preparing a roadshow, where this has to be a business in some ways first and an art form second. This is about the art and about the education, starting with the youth.
What drew you to theater, Joel?
I had an eighth grade teacher who was a English teacher primarily, but she wanted to do, I think she was a frustrated actor, and she wanted to perform a show every year at our middle school back in Indiana. And she had this prepackaged musical that she was planning on doing my eighth grade year, and she saw something in me that she wanted me to be in this show. And I, at the time, had zero interest in theater, none whatsoever. I was a person that went fishing and hunted crawdads and frogs down at the pond to catch and examine scientifically, and like, okay, and then I'd release them. And she threatened to fail me from the eighth grade if I didn't do this show. And of course, I was naive at the time to believe that that could be a reason that I would not pass on to the ninth grade. And so I grudgingly agreed to do the show. And once the show was over and we had the very first curtain call and I stepped out for my bow, and I suddenly got it. The adrenaline rush and the bug bit me from that point on. I said, this is the most amazing thing I have ever done in my life. I think I will continue to do this, and I have. So,
That was as an actor. When did you become a director?
In the year 2000, I was performing in a production of My Fair Lady, and I was sitting there kind of muttering to myself about some of the decisions that were being made from the directing side in that production. And I had a gentleman that happened to be sitting next to me who leaned over and said, what did you just say? And I said, oh, I was just talking to myself. And he's like, no, please tell me again what you just said. And I said, well, I don't agree with this decision. And he started questioning me. It turns out he was an artistic director of a community theater. And he said, you're a director. If you've got this opinion's, I mean, you're right. Everything that you've been saying is exactly right. And so you should try to direct. And so I started directing in 2000 and officially put my acting boots aside for the most part in 2001. And I've been directing ever since then.
In both instances, first as an actor and then as a director, it was somebody else that caused you to do that.
Well, it's the exposure. If you don't have the exposure, you're not going to know whether it's something that you truly want to do. And that's why it's so important that Signal Mountain Playhouse exists, to give youth this exposure. Because even if they don't continue the path of the arts as a profession, you can always find tools in the toolbox you've learned as an actor or as a dancer or as a singer to translate to your everyday existence. If you're making a presentation to a board as a marketing person, the ability to get up and have a conversation and stand there and talk and enunciate is important, and you can learn that on the stage.
There's a princess, any princess, take your pick, they're all like me. Not exactly, I'm still waiting, they're out living happily. Ever after, better get here, I want love in seconds flat. No one needs these middle bits. Whoops, did I do that? But I know he'll appear, though I seem a bit bipolar. And I'm a vandal now as well. Hope he won't mind. I'm a find, I'm a catch, and a very gifted baller. It won't be long now, I guarantee. Day number, are you there, God? It's me, Fiona. It's me, Fiona.
Dr. Jennifer Arbogast is an associate professor in the music department at Chattanooga State. She works with singers and actors at the college. So when she was offered the opportunity to stage the choreography for Shrek the Musical, she jumped at the challenge.
Singing is my focus. Yeah, that's what I studied mainly. I just love all aspects of musical theater, and I've, you know, done a little bit of it. I was excited that they decided to challenge me with something I've done less frequently, but I'm really enjoying the choreography aspect of it. It's been a lot of fun.
Have you ever studied choreography? How did you come in to handle this?
I danced when I was younger, and I danced in a Broadway dance training company for a couple of years or several years way back when I was, you know, a young teen. I also danced in like a Rockette style dance group and did competitive dance and all that. And then I kind of stepped away from it in college and got more into the music. And of course, I majored in music. And so I stepped away from it a little bit. And then when I went and worked on my master's, I was looking for some stuff to do to get me through grad school. And I did some freelance choreography for some show choirs and ended up choreographing a musical there. And then I kind of stepped away from it again. I had surgery on my ankle, and my left foot is no longer weight-bearing, which sort of got me out of that a little bit. But I still take dance classes at the Theater Center with Lindsay Fussell, who's wonderful. And so I've always really liked it, but I haven't been able to really be, you know, quote unquote, a dancer in a long time because of my ankle injury. But it's a lot of fun.
And she's doing wonderfully. The choreography is just looking phenomenally inventive, and everybody in the cast, you can tell, are having fun doing it. And that, again, is also very important about the production, is that these are volunteer actors giving of their time, so you don't want to give them a bunch of stuff that is it so difficult or so complex or so boring that they're not having a good time while they're doing it, and they are definitely enjoying it.
You did it! You did it! You did it! You did it! You're amazing! You're wonderful! You're a little unorthodox, I'll admit, but thy deed is great and thine heart is pure. I am eternally in your debt. And where would a brave knight be without his noble steed?
All right! I hope you heard that. She called me a noble steed. She thinks I'm a steed.
Well, Sir Shrek, the battle is won. You may remove your helmet.
No.
Why not?
I have helmet hair.
Please, I wouldest look upon the face of my rescuer.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
But how will you kiss me?
What? That wasn't in the job description. Maybe it's a part.
No, it's destiny. A princess is rescued by a brave knight, and then they share true love's first kiss.
With Shrek? You think this Shrek is your true love?
What is so funny?
Well, let's just say I'm not your type, okay?
But of course you are. You're my rescuer. Now remove your helmet.
Look, I really don't think that's a good idea.
Just take off the helmet.
I'm not going to.
Take it off.
No.
Now.
Okay. Easy. As you command, Your Highness.
You're an ogre?
Oh, you were expecting Prince Charming.
Well, yes, actually. Oh, no. I'm supposed to be rescued by my true love, not some ogre and his pet.
Oh, well, so much for noble steed.
An ogre always hides, an ogre's fate is known.
An ogre always stays in the dark.
Shrek the Musical opens in the Signal Mountain Playhouse this Friday, July 6th. Tickets go on sale at 6 o'clock. The performances start at 8 o'clock every Friday and Saturday for the rest of this month. Details are on the Signal Mountain Playhouse website and on their Facebook page. For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winnell.
Nice harmony. That's going to do it for today's Around and About Chattanooga. If you have questions or ideas, be sure to pass them along to our Michael Edward Miller. That's mike-miller@utc.edu.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.